It's time for us to get into our wellness conversation. And this week, we're looking at the idea of, does time actually heal all wounds? How and do we recover from really traumatic, hurtful events in our lives? What does healing actually look like? And I'd love to hear your thoughts on, when do you know you've healed? Or, you know, is it time actually that lets you know? The further away you are from the initial trauma or the event, that's how you know there's been some healing. What does healing actually look like? I'd love to hear your thoughts on 011-883-0702, your SMSs on 31702, and your WhatsApp messages on 072-702-1702. Joined, as always, by our resident clinical psychologist, Dr. Kosi Giane, joins us this morning. Kosi, a very good morning to you.
A very good morning to you too, Gook. We are navigating a very important discussion today.
Yes, this idea of how we heal, when we heal, when can we say we have healed? I got to thinking about this topic because I saw this TikTok, this video of one of those sand, I don't know what you call them, but, you know, one of those sand ornaments with a kind of a moving rake that moves like a dial on a clock. And a scoop of sand was taken out, and which I assumed was the traumatic event, the thing that would have caused the harm. And the rake keeps moving around. But of course, now there's this hole in the sand. There's this dip. And even though eventually most of the hole is filled, it never quite gets filled to where it was before the scoop happened, before, I guess, the traumatic event. And it made me wonder, is that then what healing looks like? It will look similar to what it was like before the event, but never quite the same. We are changed by the things that happen to us, especially the traumatic ones. But I imagine, I'm hoping also the good ones change us.
Indeed. So I think it's a very fitting image. You know, it talks to the granularity of healing. So I think let's unpack the dynamic here. And the dynamic is that there is a necessary but insufficient condition or relationship between time and healing. And what I mean by that is that healing does take time. But time in and of itself doesn't necessarily result in healing.
So time can play a role in healing. So it can be an important part.
Yes, it happens across time. You know, as that dial moves around the circle, it happens across time. As seconds tick into minutes, hours, and so on of life, healing takes place along that continuum of time within which we live. However, left to itself, time doesn't necessarily heal. So the suggestion here is that something needs to happen in time for healing to happen.
So there needs to be time.
But left to itself.
And there needs to be something else.
Indeed. There's something that needs to happen. Something consciously and deliberately needs to happen in time. So if we go back to that image, you know, there is a raking off. There is, let's call it a cleansing off, a rearrangement of, a realignment of sorts. There's an active process that is happening. So there needs to be a deliberate, active investment of the self in time for it to have that impact or effect that we refer to as healing. And I think there are two words that become very crucial for us to use and distinguish here, because generally we use the two words interchangeably. They are related, but they are not synonyms. There is a subtle but crucial difference between healing and cure. And I think we alluded to this last week or recently. So if we start with cure, you know, cure aligns with the medical world, in relation to a physical ailment. So the aim of cure is the eradication or elimination of some form of ailment. Could be an ailment that came as a result of an injury, a wound, an infection, a disease, a bacteria of sorts. And it is about the restoration or reinstatement of physiological functioning of the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so cure will talk about, you will hear, you know, expressions such as, we've eliminated polio, malaria, you know, cholera, and so on. It doesn't exist anymore, right? So that the body can do what it's supposed to do. Healing is different.
Mm-hmm.
The essence of healing, you know, the word is about making whole again. And it is about the self of the person who experienced that adverse event in life. Cure is about the body. It's about the organism, the body. Healing is about the relationship we have with ourselves as a result of. And it could include, as a result of the disease that you may have incurred.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about how has that disease impacted the self. So healing is a transmutation or a transformative journey or process that the person who has experienced that adverse event in life has to walk with themselves, to work with and on themselves as a result of that experience, because it is about reclaiming of the person within that body, the self within that body. It is about how do you, Joseph Greene uses an expression, says, how do you retake your pen? How do you author or rewrite the self as a result of an experience? Let me pause here for a moment.
Hmm. I just want to take this call from Annette. Annette is on the line to us from Roodepoort and has a question. Annette, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Kirk.
Yes, you have a question for Dr. Gianni.
I certainly do. You know, it's about 5 years ago, my daughter was shot by a stray bullet. And I still, I think the trauma, I'm still dealing with it, however, and I just don't know how to get around it. These days when I'm happy and these days when I'm sad. So I don't even know where to start to say, how do one get around? Like they say, time heals. So I don't know, does it or doesn't. So I'm like a little bit lost here.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Annette, and thanks for, you know, for offering your experience for us to talk to and through. So,
you
said, you've shared with us that you've had an adverse experience of
Absolutely.
Your daughter being, and it is about how do we walk the journey? Healing itself ultimately is about the fact that that situation cannot be changed. It
never,
cannot be restored.
Never.
You will not get your daughter back again. And it is about navigating the pain of that loss to the point. And hence I say healing takes place across time. And I would perhaps say to you that if you look at how you feel today compared to the day when it happened, it is still painful. But I think if you were to say on a scale from 1 out of 10, what was it on the day and where is it today? And it may not necessarily go away. And you're saying it takes different textures and feelings.
Yes.
So you navigate it, right? It doesn't consume you anymore so that you are paralyzed and can't do anything. And that is the only thing that's going on in your life. The only thing that is happening that you know about your life is that you have lost a daughter. It is about how do we rebuild life around this experience? How do I have a coexistence with life?
Yeah, yeah.
in spite of and with this experience, not forgetting about it. It is too much to ask of a person to say let go of it. It is too much to ask.
No, never. I can never. And you know, with her resilience and her tenacity, I'm so amazed because she's now bound in a wheelchair. And when I see her and I think, yo, I can pick up the pieces, and I sometimes draw strength from her, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, because I'm only a mother, and I always tell her, I will die with that pain of, her sitting in a wheelchair. That trauma will never leave me. It will never.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. But how do I take charge and continue to live and create meaning in life? And it could be in the smallest of things. As you say, one of the things you draw meaning out of is her resilience. Right?
Yes.
And she also does the same from you,
absolutely,
knowing that my mom is here. And even that we are sitting together in this pain, I am not alone. That in itself creates meaning out of that experience.
It does, it does. And, sometimes people will say to me, I can't believe that you've been through this. And I said, yes.
Indeed.
This is our journey, but we're doing it together and we're stronger together. That's what it is.
And it is one moment at a time, that grain of sand.
That grain of sand, absolutely.
Indeed.
That is a typical example, the grain of sand.
Thank you so much. And the thing about it is about getting to a point of acceptance. This is the isness of life. This is what happened. When adverse events such as that of this magnitude happened to us, the human experience is to cower over and implode on ourselves and say, why, and why me? And the journey of healing includes walking and saying, this is what happened. I may not fully understand why. It is about surrendering to the moment. And it doesn't necessarily say it's okay. It says it did happen.
Yes,
and it also says, I am not my experience. My daughter is not her experience.
Mm-hmm.
She is the one that makes meaning out of that experience.
She is living. And I mean, she's forgiven the person whoever has shot her.
Uh-huh.
And she's moved on, you know. I mean, she's really doing well with herself emotionally, and she's growing stronger each day.
Uh-huh.
I can see it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we're just grateful for that. However,
indeed, and gratitude is an important ingredient of healing.
Absolutely.
Because for as long as you don't, the cup will always be empty.
Yes.
You will always live in victimhood and reduce yourself to that experience. Whereas healing says, what was left after this and what can still be created or recreated after this?
Annette, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, guys.
That is
Annette
in Roodepoort. We also received a WhatsApp voice note on 0727021702.
Hi, Cooks. Thanks for the nice topic about healing. Healing, it's a process. It's a very long process. What usually takes me back, or I would say it's when I get triggered, be it by at a particular place where we were once at, or a song, or any moment that I was once at with that particular person that hurt me, tends to trigger me. And then once I get triggered, I need to revert back to that zone where I healed myself. But it's a process. Andile, thank you.
Thank you for that message, Andile, which raises a question that I wanted to ask, actually, Dr. Giane. Sometimes when we go through, especially particularly traumatic things, there may be, some PTSD, some trauma, whatever it is, that because this thing has happened to our bodies, and our bodies are complicated and the body remembers as well. If you are experiencing, for instance, what Andile is experiencing, where sometimes a particular smell, a particular place, a particular sensory reminds you of the pain, does that necessarily mean you haven't healed? If there is, trauma, for instance, maybe you had a really bad accident or there was a death and it traumatized you, if you are still experiencing trauma or being triggered, does it necessarily mean that you haven't healed?
So healing is a journey, and we may never come to as with a cure to say this is done and dusted. Not necessarily so. Healing is never a straight line. As Annette was saying and Andile was saying, you know, even though you've worked through it, there's a moment where it may feel like it's, you know, it's happening fresh again. That is the re-traumatization, you know, and the resurfacing of the experiences, the noises. It may be something you hear, you see, and so on. All the sensory activation that may happen, either consciously or through some unrelated thing that triggers. And it feels like it sends you back to that spiral. Even as that happens, the reality is that we are still making and navigating our journey of working through the effect of this experience on the self. And so it is about going back and reminding ourselves, not just being reminded of the experience. It is about how we remind ourselves back to, you know, that restoration of the self. You know, it's not about resisting or denying the truth of that experience or how you're feeling about it today. It is about recognizing that today I'm feeling down or I'm feeling triggered by that experience as it comes to my mind again, because unfortunately, you know, forgive and forget is a nice concept, but we don't necessarily forget. And sometimes we wish we knew which part of the brain that particular experience is located in, and you could open and just like take that out, throw it away so that you don't ever remember. But that isn't the case in most of the time.
Yeah.
So it's about how do we renegotiate and continue to reclaim the self from this experience.
Yeah. Some WhatsApp messages sharing very differing experiences as well, which I think is also useful for our conversation. Mm-hmm. One message says, "Hi, Gog, such a relevant topic. I lost my only child 10 years. We still ask why me. I've learned to deal with it, not my husband." So you can have two people who experience the same thing and be dealing with it in very different ways. Even though it was, well, I don't know if you can say it's exactly the same, but the same kind of event. But even having time has been different for them. And so, you know, the one partner has dealt with it, the other has not.
Yes. So again, it is a combination of the experience, the depth of the experience, and the depth with which it affects the person, it penetrates into the person's life and disorganizes them. That's the definition of trauma, that life is never the same again. It is the magnitude of which, you know, reorganizes, throws everything into disarray, and it asks of us to piece our lives back together again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it may be granular things. Some things are subtle, some things may be big rituals that we may need to do, but some things would be to just sit with it for a moment and to remind ourselves that this too will pass, that this too will pass, even though I may not know why it happened to me, and I may continue to experience or to ask these questions across time. The texture is not the same. And I am still here.
Sorry to interrupt you, Doctor. Tabo in Centurion says, "Good morning, sure. Gogo and Dr. Gianni. So I buried my..." It doesn't say, but there's a loved one that Tabo buried on the 2nd of March, 2024. So quite a fresh loss, a recent loss. And says, "The more I think about her, I get closure. I could say this involves me doing something about it, but time is also involved." So there, Tabo not avoiding, I guess, the pain and finding that that is helping to navigate. Because you're saying, you know, as we try heal, we're essentially trying to navigate a very difficult time. But there, you know, feeling the pain or thinking about the person, and often then I imagine the loss, that being helpful for his healing.
Indeed. Right, absolutely. And, you know, we said this before, that pain or the grief of loss is the price we pay for the love that we have for people. You don't grieve something you don't care for. You don't feel pained or hurt in that way or to that depth by something that you didn't care for. You know, and sometimes, you know, it throws us into an existential abyss where you say, my goodness, why was I even born? And all those questions that we may need to navigate as part of making sense of and making meaning out of life in spite of this experience. Or maybe because I have lost a child, I cannot afford to lose myself as well.
Mm.
And because of this, I have to survive this. I have to rewrite my life because as in honor of the fact that I can't have my child back or my loved one back, I have to reclaim the meaning of life. And maybe that serves as the motivation for it rather than for it to have a debilitating effect on you.
Another message here, final one says, I lost my husband. The soul wound was so deep when it happened. Mm. He died very suddenly, aged 56. It took a long time to heal. The raw grief did heal after some time, but the pain his loss caused still remains, but it is bearable. I think my faith played a role in reaching a point of acceptance.
Indeed. It cuts to the core. You know, and it is about what do I have to hold on to that enables me to bear with this, to bear the unbearable. And it may be faith. And for some people, it may involve even asking, you know, questioning faith. And it's like, what is it? What's the point? If I've been this faithful and so on, why should it happen to me? And that's part. Everybody has their own journey to navigate. And it will ask of us, you know, it will cut to the core of us. And it is about how do I piece the self together again in spite of this?
A final question, and it asks, in the journey of healing, is it understandable or permissible, so to speak, to engage in behaviors which would numb the pain?
It may for the moment, and it is a conscious decision, or it is a conscious process that you have to be aware of, that I am not ready to deal with this right now. So, for example, when you lose somebody, you know, there are things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
There's arrangements that need to be made and so on. And so it may be, for a moment, I may need to park this and take care of this. I may have children that need to be fed, you know, things that need to be done. And I cannot allow this to become so debilitating that I am immobilized or paralyzed by it. However, I need to also then come to terms, allow myself to feel and experience what it means to have been disrupted this much by this experience. And that is part of how I then can only then rebuild and re-piece myself back, not necessarily to where I was. It is not falling back, but falling forward, you know, and it may need to look different in a sense than what it was before. But it is a way of living and making meaning out of life nonetheless.
Mm. But it also sounds, though, that it needs to be quite temporary. So it can't be that, yes, I initially needed a bit of space and a bit of, I guess, distance from these feelings, from this loss, from this grief, from this change.
Yes.
But it can't be that that's where
indefinite.
You stay. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you've got to confront. You've got to accept, because denial and resistance, what you resist persists. And it will, you know, the body keeps the score, you know, and people may find that book useful. What you resist will persist, and it may become toxic and start to, you know, eat away into the physiology. And you may be forced to deal with this much later on, because perhaps you may now have psychogenic effects of this issue that you didn't deal with that now are manifesting in physiological ailments, stress and so on, and maybe toxicity in certain relationships because you have not dealt with something else. It then, you know, transmutes and comes out in other toxic ways.
Dr. Giane, as always, a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time and insight this morning.
Many thanks, Cooks, and to the listeners. Thank you.
That is our resident clinical psychologist, Dr. Kosi Giane.